Okay, we are launching into a mini-series, as you've already heard. Easter 101. The purpose of this series is to go back to the basics. What is Easter? Who is Easter all about? And why Easter had to happen? Why Easter? Marion and I tonight are going to tackle what is Easter. And as we start, I want you to think of Easter not just as the last couple of chapters in the four Gospels that we read about, in the beginning of the New Testament, but rather a culmination of a history of love from God to his people. One of my favorite books to read to my kids is a little kid's book called Guess How Much I Love You, which is all about these two little hares, two rabbits, dad rabbit, baby rabbit, and they're saying, well, I love you this much. Well, I love you this much. And it's all about how the dad just loves so much more than the kid can ever imagine. And the Bible, the Old Testament, is not just old. It's full. It's rich, full of love from God. Of God saying in so many ways, I love you. I love you. I love you. Let me tell you how much I love you. Let me display and show you how much I love you. And so as we start, let's look at the Easter story and just think for a moment that it's not just a one-time event. It's a culmination that's led to this point of the ultimate story of this is how much I love you. This is what I would do to show you how much I love you. As we look to answer the question, what is Easter, we're going to draw a comparison of the Easter events with the Exodus events. I'm going to kind of go for more of the Exodus side of things, and Marion's going to look a bit more at the Easter side of things. We're going to tie them together and see what we can work out from them. And so the first point we really want to emphasize is that Easter and Exodus are the answers to a people groaning for rescue. The Exodus story begins, for those who don't know, with a nation of people in a nation that's not their own. The Israelites are God's chosen people, growing up in a land that's not theirs, and they've become very very numerous in Egypt, and they've to the point where the Egyptians have enslaved them. They are God's chosen people, but they are living as slaves, oppressed, abused, mistreated. They are God's chosen people, but they are not who they are meant to be. And we're told that they groan. In Exodus 2, verse 23, we're told that they groaned in their slavery and cried out. Something in the pit of who they are as a nation just ached and hurted and came out that something is not who we are. Something is fundamentally wrong here. The Exodus starts with this concern from God over a nation who groans, knowing that they're not who they should be. They're not who God designed them to be. They're not even close to their potential. They're a nation of slaves when they should be free. They're in a foreign land instead of the promised land. They are far from who God designed them to be. And they groan because something is absolutely, fundamentally, at their core, wrong.
Right, so that's with the Exodus side of things. And now I'm going to go to the Easter side of things. And really what Easter is about is all of time. So to cast the scene for Easter, we need to think back about 6,000 odd years ago when God created the earth and mankind and placed everyone in this perfect world, and the Garden of Eden, right? So Adam and Eve enjoyed a perfect relationship with God, right? And it would have been pretty special. And then Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating of the forbidden fruit. And so they sinned because they disobeyed God. And then everything changed, not just for them, but for all of mankind. So it starts way back there. And that sin really did change everything. And I was thinking of it like, it's like that sin changed something in their DNA. You know, like if we want to think like that, something in their DNA changed, and then we now have a genetically inherited disease called sin across all of mankind. So I'm just going to talk to you from like a scientific angle, if you can comprehend that. It makes sense to me because I'm a molecular biologist, and so I work with DNA. And in the team I work with, we alter the DNA in dairy cows so that the dairy cows will give us something different in milk that can help in a therapeutic way. And this dairy cow doesn't have a choice. It's changed. And once it's changed, it cannot go back. And it's like sin, like, and there's several things that can change DNA, UV or a chemical. And it's like sin is that powerful that it can damage us all the way to the DNA level, and it can change us. And when we change our DNA cow, the original program has been reprogrammed, and it's like that we've become that way. We've gone from a perfect place in a perfect place with God, and then we sinned, and we've been reprogrammed to be sinners. And there's nothing that we can do about that for ourselves. And really, we need to be rescued.
And so Easter is this answer to a groan within us that says, help, something is wrong, I need rescuing. But when it comes to rescue missions, I don't know if you've found this also, but God has a habit for using unconventional tactics. If you are going to get a nation of people out from a nation, you'd send in an army. You'd send in the firing squad, the cavalry, whoever it took. You'd send in numbers and numbers and numbers of people to save people. God has this habit of adopting tactics that look like they make no sense. Israel is a nation that needs rescuing from a nation. God sends one man, a formerly wanted murderer, to go and save a nation of Israelites. And he does. He with his brother, he goes along and really dramatically leads a whole few million of people out of Egypt. But he doesn't have to just rescue them. He has to reestablish them as a free people from their slavery and teach them how to get right with God. We have armies and parliaments who rescue and reestablish and get people, get a whole nation to work together as one. And sometimes we actually don't really do a very good job. But God uses one man to do this, and he teaches them how to get right with God, which is the interesting part, because in Leviticus 4 and 5, Moses, through God, details the kinds of sacrifices they have to offer for sin. And we're told the different kinds of things that they would have to offer. But by sacrificing animals, in this case, that would be how you get right with God.
Okay, we'll come back to that, because I've got some more science for you. Okay, so I just want to introduce to you a law of, maybe you can say a law of physics, I'll just be so bold to say that, but I want to start with something. Who can see gravity? Right, but who can see the effects of gravity? Yeah. So do you believe in gravity? Yeah. But whether you believe in it or not doesn't change that we have gravity. Yep. So I want to share another phenomenon since the beginning of time, and I'm going to be so bold to say that this is a law over all of time, that the wages of sin is death. This is just like something crazy that I'm starting to get myself, that it's been there all the time, that the wages of sin is death. When Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world. And so sin has a real consequence. And because it's now part of us and there's nothing we can do about it, we all suffer from the effects of sin. And but there's a second part to this law, the wages of sin is death, because that's Romans 6:23. The second part of that is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is this atoning sacrifice for sin. The wages of sin is death. It alluded to this the sacrifice to atone for sin with that Moses introduced to the people of killing an animal. But now we have Jesus, and Jesus is always God's ultimate plan from the beginning, since the first sin, that we have needed a Savior. And at Easter, we have Jesus as the Savior of our sins. And what Jesus did for us would be the most ultimate sin offering ever. And it was a sacrifice for all sins, all past sins or present sins, and all future sins. So what Jesus has done is so amazingly powerful. And this is what part of the Easter story is all about, is that at Easter, there was a sacrifice of Jesus for all sin.
So we've established that Easter is the answer to a problem within us. We've established that it's a one-person mission to come and save us. But I guess the crucial thing of what is Easter, it needs to accomplish something. And the way what we've been looking at and what we've been finding as we've prepared is that it accomplishes three things. It accomplishes rescue from the past, rescue to the future, and rescue for the present. In Exodus, a nation is groaning. God sends one man who leads an entire nation out of Egypt. Moses takes people from their past. Jesus, on the cross, takes the sin from the people. As Marian said, the cross was this one-time sacrifice, taking the penalty and the power of sin from off of our shoulders. And we were talking this morning in 1 John 2, verse 2, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Everything I've done, everything I will have done is forgiven, and I stand before God made right. That is part of the Easter story. Easter is rescue from the past. Easter is also rescue to the future. You know, the most famous verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." John 3:16. But it's not just, "I'm going to live forever." It's, "I'm going to live forever as I always should have done." Marian talked about the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden is a really incredible thing to try and get your head around. It's this place of perfect relationship that God enjoyed with Adam and Eve. And that is what we are ultimately rescued to. We have that to look forward to. Not just eternal life, but eternal life as it was designed in the first place. That kind of Eden existence where we enjoy perfect relationship. But we're also, in the cross and in the resurrection, we are rescued for the present. Jesus' nature, he can't help himself. If you read the Gospels, he shows up and he makes lives better. It's just what he does. People come to Jesus hurt, they leave healed. People come to Jesus broken, they leave comforted. People come to Jesus lost, they find purpose. And all throughout his life, he continues to make people's lives better just by being Jesus. And then he died and all that stops. But the resurrection brought a whole twist. Not only did he defeat death, not only did he prove that death does not have the final say on him, but he showed himself to still be alive, and he is still alive. And the Easter story is a rescue for the present where Jesus is still alive and he continues to enter lives and make them better.
Right. Well, I hope we've done the 101 justice, and I just want to go over it again, just as we wrap up, that as an overview of all time, as Ed said again, God puts mankind into a perfect world, then sin happens, and it's like it's altered our DNA, and it's a condition that we all sin. And the wages of sin is death, but God has a plan of redemption to save us. And it's a freely available to anyone as a gift. We cannot earn it. God gives it. And this gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again victorious over death. So this is what Easter is. God saving mankind from the mess of sin and back into relationship with him. It's so cool. It's so good. In Romans chapter 10 verse 9, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Which we need to choose that for ourselves. It's a gift. We need to choose it for ourselves. God will not force it at you down your throat. You choose it for yourself. Yeah. So today, we can choose this for ourselves. As we head towards the Easter season, 3 weeks away, let's all take this opportunity to accept Jesus as our personal Savior and to say that I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that what you've done for me. Please forgive me of my sins and set me right with God again. Let's all do that again, because God is the ultimate Father saying, I love you this much, all the way to eternity and back again. And he's the only one that can do that.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Very, very good. How about if we stand and...